Welcome back to Group Therapy, y'all. I'm Dr. Kristen Casey, and I'm here with Justin and KBI. Jess decided to ditch us today.
To be with who?
To be with her family. What were you saying?
I was just going to say we're not going to have any intellectual conversation today.
There's going to be zero. It's going to be unhinged. No, we're going to bring in some research. We're going to bring in some stats just because we miss Jess so much.
And we need to make her proud.
We do. We need to make Jess proud. But today we're talking all about Dry January and, you know, why people do Dry January and some, you know, how it relates to mental health. So settle in, take a seat, and welcome to group therapy. So it's the new year, new me. That's the sort of vibe that's going on right now. A lot of people are doing Dry January, and I wanted to pose a question to you both. Do you think that Dry January participation is up or down compared to 2023?
This is very Jess of you, by the way.
I am trying so hard to channel my inner Jess so bad. I miss her.
Based off of my personal like social media timeline, I think it is up.
I think it's up. We're post-COVID. Where COVID made people drink far more. I shouldn't say we're post. I think I might have COVID a few weeks ago, but you know what I'm saying. We're post sort of the worst of the pandemic. I think it's up.
Yeah. You're both right. Yeah, it's up. So there was a little research study. I'll link it in the show notes, but it said that data showed that 24% of U.S. survey respondents, there was a survey that was done, were highly likely to participate in Dry January in 2023. But in 2024, they said they were very likely to participate. So it's up. And back then it was 24% in 2023. And in 2024, it's 27%. So we've gone up a couple of percentage points, but still pretty good. Pretty good. So let's start. Like, why do you think people do Dry January? Let's just start talking about it.
I think a lot. I think it's trendy in a way. I think it's a lot of people, it's like that term Dry January. It's kind of like that new year, new me. It kind of goes with that kind of New Year's resolution, that type of stuff. And I think people just do it, especially just to have a break from drinking and to kind of let their body reset a little bit. Some people use it to reevaluate their relationship with alcohol. Some people just see it as a challenge.
Yeah, I think so too. I think like there's a lot of people, you know, starting their New Year's resolutions, going to the gym, doing a bunch of new things. And I think, I don't know about y'all, but I feel like alcohol is everywhere around the holidays, whether you're drinking or not drinking. It's just like, it's just everywhere, you know? So I think people are just either sick of seeing it or sick of drinking it, or they just, like you said, KBI, they want a break. I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm also thinking about the fact that this in 2023 is when that damning research against alcohol drop basically showing like it has zero health benefit. Like the risk in every single way far outweigh any small benefit, like the risk of cancer, everything goes up. So knowing that that dropped, and I feel like every media outlet covered it, we covered it here, that again, that there's just no research supporting alcohol drinking. Oh, why not? You know, why not give it a try? January 2024. And I was thinking the same thing in USK 10. Alcohol gets brought into a lot of holidays and traditions. Certainly doesn't mean you have to drink or whatever, but it's just there.
Yeah. And it's so common, right? The party punch, the let's go out and get even else, like, let's go get cocktails. Let's even just like when I said to someone the other day, I was like, why don't we go get drinks? I'm not drinking in my life right now. And it's still like that kind of common piece. But in my head, I'm like, I would just get a soda.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's so intertwined, whether it's holiday season, whether it's, you know, just our general, like, you know, post 21, sometimes even before, but post 21, like, lives that, you know, like, I know for me, like, I'm really just reevaluating how that is integrating in my life.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to really be intentional with things. And if you really think about, like, why am I doing this? When a lot of people think of alcohol, I think they're like, oh, to like, we talked about this earlier, like reduce anxiety or to help me calm down or to help me relax. And we know from the research, it kind of does the opposite depending on what kind of alcohol you're drinking, depending on what kind of mental state you're in. And it, like Justin said, it doesn't really truly help the way we think it does. And I think about a lot of people who are doing Dry January and they're like, oh my gosh, the first week I'm not sleeping that well. Week two, baby, just wait, because that second week of no alcohol and your sleep is so good compared to what it used to be. You know, I think people are afraid to like let go of a habit, and it doesn't have to be an addiction. It could just be, oh my gosh, I'm just used to doing this one thing. And how is this serving me? You know?
Besides some of the things that have been brought up of how it's like ingrained and, oh, let's go to happy hour and all these things. I also think what you hear a lot and certainly what people feel is like, well, if I'm a little bit anxious, drinking helps. And listen, in the moment, could there be some evidence for that? Of course. That makes you feel a little, you know, uninhibited and make you, again, maybe be able to communicate and not be so much in your head. But again, the consequences of after, especially, and knowing now that there's no safe amount of alcohol, where again, the risks are always outweighing the reward. I think it's important to have that all, like holding all those truths when you think about like, why am I drinking? And also, this is what I talk to a lot of my clients about who have social anxiety. You can like unconsciously start getting dependent, even if you're not suffering from alcoholism. Of like, I can't be out unless I'm drinking. I can't communicate with these people unless I'm drinking. And again, of course, we talk about alcoholism, but there creates this sort of dependency of like, well, well, of course I have to get a drink.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's just maybe you always have, and you haven't tolerated some of that anxiety before.
That's a good point, because I even think like for the clients that tell me to like, I have to drink when I'm out, or I have to drink to do this one thing. I think, well, what is that one thing doing for you then? You know what I mean? Like if you're going to actually go to this activity, how is that serving you too? Like what about that is causing anxiety? Like what specifically about it? So I was talking with one of my friends, and I vacillate between like sober curiosity and I'll have like a drink or two or not. And I'm currently in the state where I'm having like a glass of wine, maybe once a week, maybe. And I keep thinking like, there's so many things I'm not doing because I'm not really drinking, like KBI was saying, you know, but my friends were going to go to this nightclub and I was just dreading it. And I was like, I just don't want to go because I'm not drinking. And I'm like, that is a big, way to think about like, am I actually enjoying those moments, you know? And then I was thinking, okay, is it the kind of friends that are there? Is it the music? Is like, what is it? You know? And it was just, it was country. It was like, not a nightclub, but it was like a country bar. And I was like,
welcome to Missouri.
I'm not going. Yeah. Like if it was like maybe my music, then I'd be like, oh, cool. That's a reason for me to go. But like in a situation like that, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'll have a drink and I could get through it. But I do think that, you know, the activities that you're choosing to do with alcohol too make a difference, you know? And then on top of it, like Justin's saying, if there's anxiety involved, oh my gosh, like I get why people drink and, you know.
Well, and it's, so I'm going to be Jess for a minute. Because this is where this is my nerd out. So substance use is like my little niche. And it's always so interesting when we talk about, you know, the way that alcohol affects our system, because we do hear that often, right, Justin? Like you said, like alcohol lifts me up. It makes my anxiety go down. It does all this. Well, logically, the thing is alcohol is a depressant in the substance use field. It is not an upper. It is actually a depressant. And what that depressant does, fun fact, is when you're drinking, it lowers your cortisol levels. So that stress hormone in your body, it lowers it while you're drinking. What happens is then your body goes, you don't got enough cortisol. You don't even got a normal amount of cortisol in your system. I'ma make a little bit. I'm gonna give you a little bit. Here's a little treat. And then the alcohol wears off, and suddenly you have your regular cortisol that the alcohol was depressing, and now you have all this extra cortisol, which is where we get like anxiety, that like when you stop drinking and things like that afterwards, and you're feeling like super anxious afterwards, or, you know, if you are, and a lot of that comes like if you're drinking really regularly, that usually doesn't come like after like one drink. But a lot of times, you know, we see this in the Dry January for people who do drink heavily throughout the year, and they're deciding, I'm going to take this. I'm like, why am I so anxious all the time? I'm like, well, your body's kind of recalibrating itself. Like we have to, like, we kind of like remember, like thinking like quitting caffeine, quitting smoking, quitting any habit. Like that's what you're doing in a way. And so your body is kind of recalibrating itself to the reality is to not have this toxin in a way in your body. And it's saying, okay, let's get it back into kind of homeostasis. And that always surprises people that alcohol is a depressant. Mm-hmm. Because people are always like, oh, it just makes me feel so loosey-goosey. Like a little, it just makes me have a little fun at the club. When the reality is the consequences, because it is a depressant, is actually, you see a lot more of that happen afterwards.
I love the way that you describe that. And I even think in the context of mental health, alcohol is kind of, I don't know, it helps you avoid things, you know, it helps not feel things that you don't want to feel, which I get. It could be painful, you know, to feel certain things that you don't want to feel, you know, but if you're thinking about alcohol in that way, and like you said, with the cortisol levels and all of that, I mean, it makes sense why it's hard to take it out of your routine or take it out of your life if you're so used to it, you know?
Mm. Well, and I think too, like if you are the only one doing it, it is hard. If you don't feel like you have the ability to say no, or you're a people pleaser, like it's hard to then be around people who are drinking and who are, and hopefully like you come and like, I'm kind of in this sober curious. I've had one drink since like July, and every time we've gone out, every time I've gone out with friends or whatever, they'd be like, oh, you want to get a drink? Nope. I'm good. Okay. But the hard part is like, if you were doing that and people are pressuring you on the other end,
that's hard. Yeah.
And right now, like we're specifically talking more about that dry January than like active addiction. But yeah, it is hard because then you're like, oh, I'm the only one doing this. Should I do it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I think that gets into the nuance of like, it can impact us all just differently, mm-hmm. which is just the hard thing about it. But the thing is, which is why Dry January, and I know we already talked about New Year's resolutions in another ep, rewind, check that one out. But if you don't experiment with things, you don't know. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to do Dry January just because you have a problem with alcohol. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways of like why us as therapists love when people can experiment. Because you don't know. And I know Kate Ten alluded it to earlier, but like, you don't know how something impacts your sleep until you take it away. You don't know how something impacts your mood the next day until you take it away for a while. But all these things it's so important just in your life to be able to experiment with and have that, because you might surprise yourself. I know I'm usually like a once a week drinker, usually like if it's just Friday night or just sometime on Saturday. Now it's been a few weeks since I had any, but it has. The thing I notice the most is when I go out, eat some apps, and just don't drink at all, that next day is just such a significant difference. Mm-hmm. Like, because otherwise that morning brain fog, I feel like just a little bit like under the weather. Like I don't feel like I did in college or anything like that, but it's a difference. And it's like, that's my free time. You know, it's like a Saturday morning, like... It's just nice to reflect on these things. Like, do you have to give up alcohol entirely? I mean, it's up to you. Maybe, maybe not. But to never experiment with it, to me, is like the biggest, like, would be sad if you went your whole life and you're just like, this is what I do. Because, again, you might surprise yourself.
Well, and I think Dry January, if you do it, especially like with friends, like if you get a little cohort, because I do know people who have like a little cohort who are doing it together. The cool thing about that is then that creates the ability to do things differently. So maybe you and your friends, all you do is you go out and get appetizers and drink. Perfectly fine. But it also gives you maybe the opportunity to try something different and connect in maybe a different way. That again, that you may not have been doing before. And like you said, that experiment, like all it does is just create opportunity for something different.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know about y'all, but like sometimes when I work with clients and they're in a routine, but it has alcohol involved, they just don't realize, like Justin and you guys are both saying, like they don't realize that life could feel different. Like they might think like, oh, okay, like it'll look a little different. I'm not going to be drinking, and behaviorally, like observationally, But the feeling that you have when you choose, actively choose to not drink, and then like Justin's saying, wake up the next day and not have all of that weirdness or that fuzziness, yeah. or like KBI was saying, like that anxiety, it's, I never regret not drinking. Like I could say that proudly. Like I never regret it ever. Like I just don't, like, cause I just know, okay, I'm thinking of my future self, or I'm thinking of like what I could do tomorrow. One thing that I notice for clients too, they'll say like, well, when I'm hungover, it gives me an opportunity to relax and not do anything. I don't feel this angst to like have to fill the time. And I'm like, I get it. And like we're saying, do an experiment. Just see how it shakes out. You're afraid of being uncomfortable. You're not unsafe technically, unless you're like an active addiction. That's different. You know, that's completely different. And if that's you and you don't think that you give up alcohol, it's really, really important to not go cold turkey. I know we talked about that in the last episode, so I figured I would mention it now. But if you're worried about how you might feel, or you're worried about like, oh, I'll be uncomfortable, you might be. It's okay. You might be. Are you going to die unless you're an active addiction? No, of course not, depending on who you are. But I think it'll provide you an opportunity to look at life a little differently, you know, or to experience something that you might not experience. I think it's hard for people too, if they're in that dry January cohort too, just say they want to experiment and they want to say, okay, I don't want to do completely dry January. I want to be a little damp, or I want to, you know, whatever. That's okay too. You have to do whatever's right for you.
I want to be a little damp.
I want to be a little damp. Never,
you know? I love that.
A little damp.
I want a damp January.
Yeah.
Slightly moist January.
Oh, don't say
half that. Half our viewers just canceled this episode.
Right, I know. There. Right, but there.
Off of what's being said, it's just about, which is ironic, we're talking about like New Year's and it's January and all the things, but it's about strengthening muscles. Because like as much as I totally agree with you, KBI, like if you can get a couple of your friends, that's dope. Mm-hmm. If you can't, you're going to strengthen the muscle around boundaries, as you said, KBI. You're going to get used to telling people like, nah, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to get used to like not having to be or do what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, distress tolerance muscle. Maybe that needs strengthening. Like as someone like myself, like I'm always on the go. And again, that's why like I can tolerate a depressant because I'm already way up here, which again is why a lot of people with anxiety and social anxiety drink alcohol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're already so up. It's cool that it's a little bit of a depressant, but it's not cool in that you don't learn to strengthen that muscle to freaking be present.
Yeah.
To be there, to communicate, to be in the moment in a different way. And again, and I think what we're trying to push to people is like you should fuck around and find out.
Right? But like I hear it, like, and I hear you in that, because I think also that, you know, I think a lot of like a lot of the problem too is if you are doing it by like that FOMO, the fear of missing out, and really just kind of like you can still have fun. Like I actually find it fun to be the sober one.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah. And just like I actually find it kind of fun because I'm just watching my friends, like if I'm going out and getting drinks, I'm just watching them just, and it's just, okay, live your life. And it's kind of entertaining, but it's one of those things you have to get, like Justin said, you have to get uncomfortable though. If you can't and learn to tolerate that uncomfortable till you get to a point where, oh, it doesn't bother me anymore. Like it doesn't bother me sitting at a table where everybody has a cocktail and I'm drinking a Coca-Cola.
There's so many people too that are sober, like in general. Oh. There's so many celebrities. There's so many people even in my life who like are just plain sober, like just completely for like decades. And they just don't drink. And there's literally nothing wrong with that. You know, but I think a lot of one thing that my younger clients tell me is I'm afraid of losing my friends. That's like the main concern. I'm afraid of what my friends might think. I'm afraid of losing my social connection. And like both of you are saying, it really just takes boundaries. You know, you can still go to the event if you choose to, and you can choose to not drink. You could still have a good time. Doesn't mean you're going to have a terrible time. But I do think that people are worried. There might be friends out there who might not like it either. You know, that there just might be friends like that. I had a friend like that growing up. We're cool now, but at the time, I'm not going to call her out by name. Love you. But yeah, she was like, you're not drinking, you're not going to be fun anymore. And that hurt so bad. Hearing that hurt so bad. I'm like, you don't like me for me. You know what I mean? We had a little bit of a falling out and then she came to as well. But I think, again, it's really just exercising, like, this is right for me, you know, and the people in my life who will appreciate it, that's great. But I do think that that distress tolerance skills and all that stuff really come in handy. And if you feel uncomfortable, that's the part of life that you have to allow yourself and give yourself an opportunity to feel uncomfortable so that you could actually exercise the skills. If you just stay in that comfort zone and you're like, I'm not even going to tell people, I'm just going to pretend, or like, whatever, like, I'm just going to, whatever. Sure. You could do that in the beginning to get your feet wet, so to say. But at the end of the day, it's okay to show up and say, like, I'm just not drinking. It's totally cool.
Yeah. I got a little philosophy with both those things of like, if an activity is only fun because you're drinking, what does it say about the activity? And if a friend is only a friend because you're drinking, what does it say about the friend?
Dr. J just dropped some knowledge.
It ain't it.
Some wisdom.
Oh, that hits.
I hear that all the time. People are like, how can you? Weirdly enough, the place I like never drink is like sporting events of like, I love watching sports. Why would I want to ruin it by drinking? Which is so funny. And people have the dead opposite. Like, how can you go to a sporting event sober? I'm like, dog, I'm into this game. Like, I got to be at 100, like, with like watching the play develop and everything. Yep. But there's just a lot of things that we tell ourselves we have to drink at. And it's like, then maybe you don't really like this activity as much as you think you do.
It's That's so why true. I only had one White Claw at Taylor Swift, because I was like, I'm remembering this forever.
I'm remembering this
in my brain.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, Dry January is a nice way for people to just redefine that and kind of say like, oh, are these things that I actually don't want to drink while doing, because I'm now experiencing them sober or anything like that. I think Dry January, you know, as a whole, gives that opportunity for us to get curious and, like Justin so eloquently said, to fuck around and find out.
Some deep philosophy there.
Justin's around kind of so many good nuggets this episode.
But then I say that one, it like kind of undoes like.
No, that was, no, that was it doesn't. The cake. That was
it, but it's Justin in a nutshell, where you're having like this really nice philosophical conversation, and then he just goes unhinged for a second and then just comes right back around.
It helps you feel comfortable. It really does.
It's like we're having a Dr. Pooter moment and then a Dr. J comes out. And we're like, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's the J names. Everyone knows.
Everyone does.
It's true. I'm always in the comments when people post that. They're like, they had a J name. I'm like, it's valid. Research has confirmed. If you've had a problem with anybody, it's because they had a J name.
When we first met and I realized your name was Justin, I was like, this is either going to go really good or really bad. I don't know. It's going really good. But
I was about to say, I don't know if we even have an answer for that yet.
I think it's going well, subjectively. No, KB, what do you think?
We have opinions, don't we?
KBI is about to go Dry January, but for Justin, she's going to like not talk to him for a whole month. Like,
well, oh, that's a good idea. Dry January, Dr. J style. Bye.
Oh my goodness. So our time has come to an end with Dry January. Thank you so much for joining us. Send this to a friend who you're trying to get to do Dry January with you. I know it's January. Almost mid-January now, but it's never too late. You still have a couple of days left. Half the month, you can make it work.
Dry February.
Dry whenever. You could do it whenever. It doesn't have to be January. But
solid.
You know, just to summarize too, we talked about how Dry January could impact mental health. It could impact, you know, the way that you might experience life differently. You know, doing an experiment might actually, like Dr. J said, might surprise you. And like KBI said, there's a lot of statistics about alcohol and not statistics. Oh my gosh, it's late, guys. There's a lot of things about alcohol that might not be so helpful for you. So drop this in the group chat and we'll see you next week in group therapy.
Bye.